This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is May 28, 1981. The interview is taking place in the home of Howard Tweeter in Gig Harbor and is being conducted by Maureen Nesvig. What is your full name, please?
Phone number?
Full name.
John Howard Tweeter.
Okay. And when were you born?
1912 in Tacoma.
And what was the month and the day?
January 18th.
Okay. And where in Tacoma? Was this in a hospital or a home?
No, it was, I'm not sure. I think it was in North, I'm not sure. And it was on McKinley Hill. And I can't remember the name of the hospital.
But it was in a hospital?
As far as I know, it.
And how long then did you stay in Tacoma before you came to Gig Harbor?
Oh, almost 4 years. I was almost 4 years old when we moved out here in 1916.
Uh-huh. And do you know why your parents moved out to Gig Harbor?
Well, my dad was a carpenter, and he was bothered with sciatic rheumatism quite bad. And he thought maybe if he sold and moved out in the country and had a farm, that he could do better out here than he could as a carpenter in Tacoma.
Uh-huh.
Because here they had their own cattle and their hogs and their chickens and garden and everything. So they were almost self-supporting out here on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So he traded his house in Tacoma for 40 acres.
Mm-hmm. And is that in this area of Gig Harbor?
That's just about a mile north of here.
Uh-huh. And this is called this is Crescent Valley?
Crescent Valley, right, yeah.
Now, what were your parents' names, both of them?
My dad's name was Nels Tweeter. And my mother was Oleana Sunde, was her maiden name.
Uh-huh. And they were both born in Norway.
Right, right.
And your dad from which part?
He was born at a little town called Sjeberg. And he spent most of his time as a carpenter with his dad in Fredrikstad and Sarpsborg and also some in Sjeberg.
And your mother was from?
She was from Nordfjord, Norway.
And how far north is that?
Oh, I would say roughly 450 American miles from Sarpsborg.
Mm-hmm. And was that a coastal area?
It's right on Nordfjord.
Uh-huh. And what was her father's occupation, do you know?
Oh, he was more of a, you might say, a farmer and fisherman.
Mm-hmm. How many children were there in your family?
In my mother's family?
Your family, your brothers and sisters.
Oh, we just had the, no, I'm the only child.
Mm-hmm.
We had three daughters,
uh-huh.
12 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren.
Yourself. Then you had a number of cousins here in this area, too.
I have 11 cousins on my dad's side in Norway, and there's 8 of us on my dad's side here in the Tacoma area.
Mm-hmm. And some of those cousins in Tacoma immigrated when they were
right,
children.
Right.
Uh-huh.
All of them but one,
mm-hmm,
in Tacoma.
Now, do you remember much about your well, you couldn't remember. Did your grandparents come over here, too?
No, they didn't. The only one that came over, like I said before, was my dad's, he would be his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
But we called him Grandpa. It's the closest I could come to a grandpa.
Mm-hmm. And he was in this area.
That's right.
Yeah.
His name was Nels Johnson.
Now, do you know anything about the background of your family name? You say, how do you pronounce your name now?
A Tweeter.
But is it pronounced differently in Norwegian?
No. What my dad done, he took the name of the place instead of his dad's name.
Uh-huh.
My two uncles, when they came over, they had taken my grandpa's name. His name was Jacob, so they called themselves Jacobson.
Mm-hmm.
But then they changed their name to Tweeter when they came over here, so all three brothers would have the same name.
I see. And Tweeter was a place?
It was a name of a place and a lake.
Uh-huh.
Tvetavanna.
Oh, that's what they said.
Okay.
And when did your father come to the United States?
In 1901, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And why did he decide to come over? Do you know?
Well, he probably thought he could do better over here and maybe make a little more money. And he was writing to his uncle, who was also a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably what induced him to come over.
Mm-hmm. Did he come with anybody else?
No, he came alone.
Now you say, did he come directly to Tacoma?
No, he came to Wisconsin, where my uncle was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, they both moved out to the coast, out to Tacoma.
Uh-huh. What were they doing in Wisconsin?
Carpenter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did your dad ever talk to you about his trip over here, what it was like, and how he felt about leaving Norway?
No, he never did. The only thing he did say, that he would like to go back before his mother died, but she died in the meantime, so then he changed his mind and never went back.
Uh-huh. And now your mother was an immigrant too. Do you know what the circumstances were for her coming over here?
Well, she had an older sister in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I think she was the one that talked her into coming over.
Mm-hmm.
And she spent about a year or so, I think it was, with her sister in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on she moved out here, but her sister stayed at Sioux Falls because then she had another sister that was in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
And she stayed with her for a little while until she started working on her own.
So you were born in Tacoma and you stayed there, you say, 4 years.
Yeah,
and
why did
your folks decide then to move over here to Gig Harbor?
My dad was bothered quite a bit with sciatic rheumatism and it bothered him doing carpenter work.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought maybe he'd do better to come out here and buy a farm where he could have his own cattle and garden and everything they needed.
Now, this was quite a Scandinavian community, you say.
At that time, we used to call it Little Norway.
Uh-huh. How long was it called that, do you know?
Oh, up until probably 15, maybe 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
By that time, some of the old-timers had either died off or moved away, and the newer people were moving in all the time, and now there's very few Scandinavians left. In fact, Mrs. Alvestad and I are the only Norwegians left in Crescent Valley.
Mm-hmm. And you say you spoke Norwegian.
Mm-hmm, I did.
Growing up. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, when I started school, I couldn't speak hardly any English, but it didn't take me long to pick up English, and when I came home and started talking English to my mother, she wouldn't answer me. I had to talk Norwegian. And I talked nothing but Norwegian to her until I was married and moved away. And I'm glad now that you did, because it comes in handy quite often.
What does it come in handy for?
Well, for example, I've had cousins that come from Norway that couldn't speak any English, and I was able to talk to them.
Uh-huh.
And also, when we took our trip to Norway 3 years ago, I didn't have any trouble at all speaking to any of them. So I'm glad now that I kept it up.
Did your mother ever pick up English?
Yes, she did, but with quite an accent.
Mm-hmm. And what about your father?
He spoke better English than she did. Of course, he was out amongst people more in the carpenter business and whatnot, and he got away from his accent somewhat.
What was it like going to school out here? How far did you have to go to school?
It was right up here, which is now the Masonic Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived up the road about a mile, and that's all I had to walk.
Were there other children like yourself who spoke Norwegian when they started school and then had to learn English?
Not here in the valley. There was some that could speak some Norwegian, but not too much, and they didn't keep it up.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about growing up in this area? Just what was life like in Gig Harbor in those days?
Well, I think it was better than it is now. I don't know, it seemed like the young people in them days had a lot more cleaner fun than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, before radio or TV, we done more visiting and we got to know our neighbors better.
Mm-hmm.
And now we live next door to people that we don't even know hardly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a better life altogether.
In what ways was the community Scandinavian? How would Norwegian? How would the people celebrate holidays and?
Well, they'd get together and they'd have their, there was a lot of halibut fishermen here, Norwegians, and every spring before they went fishing, they'd have a dance down here at the old community hall, and they'd hire an accordion player from Tacoma, and it was all Scandinavian dance music. And then the same thing in the fall when the fishermen came home, they'd have a dance and a party for them.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember any particular characters or anybody who stands out in your mind? Any Norwegians who were well known in this area, or?
Oh, they were all well known and they all got together all the time, and I couldn't pick out any one.
Why do you think it was this area that had so many Norwegians?
Oh, I think probably maybe one or two families moved in and then the rest of them immigrated over here, and they heard about these Norwegians up here in the valley, and it was close to the water, and some of them were fishermen. And I think that's probably what brought them in here.
Mm-hmm.
They heard from their friends about this place.
Do you remember when your cousins immigrated and came over here? Were you old enough to remember that?
Oh, yes. They were, that was in 1928.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1926, two of them came over. And then the rest of the family, my dad's brother, Ludwig, his geek, and his brother came in 1924, and their family came over in 1928.
Mm-hmm. And what do you remember about them coming? Was it a special time or?
Well, yeah, I kind of enjoyed it because that was the first time I'd really been able to sit down and talk Norwegian with young people, mm-hmm. especially the smaller boys, which was only about 5-6 years old. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of amusing for me to hear a young boy like that talk Norwegian again.
What was the life like around your parents' home? I'm used to now they were farming out here. Yes. What were the general activities of the day and your parents' duties?
Well, they had this 40-acre farm, and they had 6-7 cows that they sold milk, and they also had about 8-9 acres of berries, and it kept us all pretty busy working in the berry fields and taking care of the cows and so forth.
Mm-hmm. What kind of berries were those?
It was half loganberries and raspberries. Mm-hmm.
And would your mother sell those or make those?
Well, we would hire berry pickers in the summertime and sell the berries. And she mm-hmm. kind of supervised the berry field. Because mm-hmm. my dad, he was gone carpenter work most of the time.
Where did he do most of his carpentry work? Here in this area or back over in Tacoma?
Most of it around here in later years. To begin with, he worked some in Tacoma because he knew most of the contractors in Tacoma. But it was more convenient for him to work in this area here when he got better known out here. Mm-hmm.
Did he build homes primarily?
And mostly homes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, did you have any difficulties because you didn't speak Norwegian right away? Did it tend to isolate you as a young child, do you think?
Not too long, because when I first started school, there was a Swedish family who lived right across the road from us. And the boy there was my age, and he spoke nothing but Swedish at the time. So I was speaking half Swedish and half Norwegian sometimes. But it wasn't long before we both picked up the English. It was no problem.
Mm-hmm. How did you communicate with Tacoma in those days? Was there a ferry or?
To begin with, it was a steamer. Mm-hmm. And that was a day's trip. We would leave here at 8 o'clock in the morning. We wouldn't get home till 6 in the evening. Just one trip a day.
And where would it leave from and go
left,
to?
Underneath the 11th Street Bridge in Tacoma. And it landed out here, which is now the Peninsula Yacht Basin. Mm-hmm. That was the end of the line. Mm-hmm. But there was other 4 or 5 other stops they made between Tacoma and Gig Harbor. Mm-hmm. And then later on, they had the ferries that also came into Gig Harbor. And later on, the ferry landing moved right outside the harbor. And then after that, then the first bridge came through.
Now that was the big bridge.
Yes.
Do you remember, was that a special thing?
Oh, that was. That was really something. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day it went down. That was in November in 1939, I believe, or 40, I forget exactly.
Mm-hmm. What did people think about the bridge going in? Did it change the life out here, do you think?
It did. A lot of people had, before that, had maybe just a summer home or something out here. And then when the bridge came through, a lot of them moved out and made it a permanent home. Mm-hmm. Even though they did have a toll on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about the time it blew down, the famous bridge?
Well, I was working a carpenter at the Clover Park High School at the time, and it was noon hour. We were sitting having our lunch, and the boss came running out, and he says, the Narrows Bridge is going down. And as soon as we got through work, there was hundreds of people crowded out towards the bridge where to see it. And it was really something to see it.
Now, had you been using that for transportation then after it was...
No, I was living in Tacoma at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, you attended grade school out here, and then tell us a little bit about your... You stayed out here through high school years? And
yes, yeah. Right. That's as far as I went with high school.
Uh-huh. And then you went to work
A carpenter.
Uh-huh.
And then for a few years, I worked on the ferries, and mostly carpenter work, and then I went commercial fishing for probably 20 years in the summertime and carpenter work in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. Were there lots of other Scandinavians or Norwegians working with you in those occupations?
Quite a few, yes, mm-hmm. Right. And then I retired from building in 1971, and I wanted to get back on the water, so I went deep sea towboating for 4.5 years between here and Alaska. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of Scandinavians on the towboats, mm-hmm. so I brushed up on my Norwegian again.
Were there some who spoke just Norwegian?
Oh, yeah, quite a few that had come from Norway not too many years ago, and they still spoke good Norwegian. Mm-hmm.
So where was your home then for many years? Your home was in Tacoma, or?
North end of Tacoma, yes. Mm-hmm. We lived there for about 5 years.
So tell me a little bit about your family. How did you meet your wife and so on? And
how did I meet her? Mm-hmm. Well, to begin with, I remember her and her twin sister when they were just 8, 9 years old, because her mother and her half-sister picked berries for my folks. And I was only about 12 years old when I started driving a Model T Ford, and I had to go to pick up these berry pickers in the morning and bring them back in the evening. And then I remember seeing these two twins sitting on the porch waiting for their mother. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I used to play accordion for dances, and I was playing for a dance one evening down here at the old community hall, and her sister were dancing together around, and one of them had her arm in a sling. So I motioned to my piano player, and we stopped the music when they were right in front of us, and I started talking to them. And that was the beginning.
Where did you learn to play the accordion?
When?
How did you learn to play it?
Oh, I don't know. I was always interested in accordion music, and I bought an old used accordion from a friend of mine and started practicing. I never took any lessons. I just practiced and learned to play by ear.
Mm-hmm. What age were you when you started?
Oh, I'd say probably 21, 22, maybe something like that.
Were these, did you play Scandinavian style music?
Mostly.
What types of music and songs would you play?
Oh, it would be schottisches and polkas and handbells and so forth. Mm-hmm. And of course also some American pieces.
How often, what would those dances be like?
Oh, we'd get together. I used to play every Saturday night and sometimes Friday night, and quite often we would practice maybe one night during the week. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of fun. There was 4 or 5 of us that played together.
How many people would show up? Was it a big community event to have a dance like that?
Oh, there'd be probably anywhere from 60 to 100 people sometimes.
And was that mainly a Scandinavian group?
A lot of them were Scandinavians. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of the Americans, they also learned to dance the schottisches and polkas and so forth, and they enjoyed it.
So now you got married then eventually in this area here?
Right here in Gig Harbor.
Uh-huh. And
her twin sister was maid of honor, and a good friend of mine that I knew since I was 8 years old was best man. And it wasn't long after that they started going together and they married.
Now is your wife of Norwegian descent?
No, I'm Yugoslav. Uh-huh.
Were her parents from Yugoslavia?
Yes.
Born there?
Right. In fact, on our trip to Norway, we went to Yugoslavia and visited her cousins and second cousins and saw the place where her mother came from.
Were there many other Slavic people in this area too?
Over on the other side of the other side of the bay was pretty near all Yugoslav.
Oh, what was there much mixing between the two different?
Not when we were young. They stayed there. They stayed here, because we all had separate schools, little schoolhouse, country school, mm-hmm. And then later, when they had the Union High School, which was our first high school, well, then all the schools came together, and in high school we all got acquainted, and then people start mixing.
In fact, the people here in Crescent Valley, or Little Norway, as I call it, they almost disowned me when they heard I went across the bay to marry a Yugoslav.
What's your name then, and your family's name?
Makovic. Uh-huh.
Do you remember anything special about, did you feel very isolated living here in a small community like that? When you were young? Or?
No, we didn't know any different. Mm-hmm. We just loved it. Everybody was friendly, you know. Everybody needed each other because there wasn't TV or radio or anything. And your friends were really your friends. Mm-hmm.
Did you have the same feeling for the Norwegian community, that friendship?
That's right.
What are some of the ways that people might help each other out?
How would they help each other out? Well, they'd get together in haying time. They would help their neighbors with different things. And butchering time, they'd all get together and help. And they were really helpful, good neighbors. Mm-hmm.
If anybody were sick, they'd come with the soup and make the baked cake and all these sort of things, you know. I'm sure they get the same care too.
What was the medical care like out in Gig Harbor? Do you remember, did you have doctors?
Not at first.
Well, we had I was probably 6, 7 years old when we had the first doctor. And he had a big white horse, and he used to run around to his patients with his horse and buggy. Mm-hmm. That was the beginning. Yeah.
Do you remember any of the? Did you remember any special epidemics or?
Well, we had a bad flu epidemic there 1 year, and it kept him pretty busy. And in fact, some of them died from it.
Mm-hmm. We had diphtheria on that side, and two children were lost.
What about the church in the community here? Was the church important? Was there an important church to the Norwegian community?
Well, to begin with, the first Lutheran church was quite a ways from Crescent Valley. It was over at Cromwell. Mm-hmm. And then later on, it moved up to a building right here in the middle of Crescent Valley and was there for a few years until they moved the church from Cromwell over to Gig Harbor, on not too far from the Olympic Village. And then they discontinued the one here in Crescent Valley.
Did most people take part in church activities? Do you remember that?
I would say most of them did, not all. Mm-hmm. No.
And was that a Norwegian-speaking congregation?
No, that was English. Mm-hmm. Although to begin with, before they had the Lutheran church up here, the Lutheran pastor used to come out from Tacoma and had services down at the Methodist church. And I remember he did speak in Norwegian. I can't remember his name now, but...
Mm-hmm. In growing up in a home of Norwegian parents, do you remember celebrating holidays in a special way? Did your parents try to keep Norwegian culture alive?
My mother did more so than my dad. She always reminded us when it was the 17th of May and so forth.
And what would she say about the 17th of May, or how would you celebrate
she'd
it?
She'd get a little lonesome for Norway and talk about the things they used to do in Norway and so forth. And
can you remember any of the things she talked about what she would say about
like
that?
On the, what do you call that, in June, Midsummer Night? Mm-hmm. And she talked about that quite a bit, how they used to celebrate that.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember what she said?
Up on the mountainside, they'd had big balls of tar, they would set them afire and roll them down into the bay, and they'd have their dances and their get-togethers. She talked about that quite often. And Christmas Eve, of course, was a big doing. I think in the Scandinavian countries, they probably celebrate more Christmas Eve than they do Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. And they also had what they call the little Christmas Eve the night before. And then they had a special meal for that. And then, of course, Christmas Eve was always lutefisk and spare ribs. That was traditional for Christmas Eve.
Is that what you had in your home,
and
too?
We always did, right.
Still do.
What was the little Christmas Eve meal? What was that like?
Oh, that was, how would I say that? It was mostly a soup made from berry juice and so forth, a kind of a sweet soup. Mm-hmm. And different kinds of breads and so forth with it.
And you say the main celebration was Christmas Eve. What,
right.
Besides the meal, what would the celebration entail?
Well, they would light the Christmas tree. In them days, there was no electric lights. They had candles on it, and we would sit around the tree till the candles burned down a little ways. My dad had a bucket of water standing handy in case something happened. Mm-hmm. Then they would blow out the candles, and then we'd open our gifts. Mm-hmm. And that was about the end of Christmas then.
Was there any kind of a Santa Claus figure that you thought about or knew about?
Oh, I can still remember the last Christmas in Tacoma. My dad had made me a little red and painted wheelbarrow. And come Christmas Eve, he snuck out around and came in there and knocked on the front door. And my mother said, "You go open the door," and hear my dad come in with the wheelbarrow full of gifts. So that was the closest to Santa Claus that I saw.
And so you say you had lutefisk, mm-hmm. and spare ribs.
Spare ribs, right.
Is that, did most people have that same food in
the Scandinavians pretty near all did that, mm-hmm. right.
Did the people prepare their own lutefisk, do you know?
They did at that time. They would dry it by the dry stock fish, and they would soak it out and put lye in it. It took about 9 days to make lutefisk at that time.
Which, did your mother make her own?
She always did, right, mm-hmm. yeah.
What other kinds of special foods do you remember that your mother
might make?
She would make
fatiman and lefse, flatbrød, and kringler, and different things like that. Mm-hmm.
And would you have people come visit you on Christmas?
Well, during the week after Christmas, they used to celebrate for almost a week. I think they took that from Norway with them. I guess they do that there. Mm-hmm. Well, then the neighbors would go from house to house and go around and visit and have coffee and cakes and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And your wife says you still have lutefisk on Christmas Eve.
Right.
Have you always done that?
She learned that from my mother, and she makes the lutefisk and Fatiman and flatbread and lifts and so forth.
So even though you're of Slavic descent, you picked up the Norwegian customs.
Yes, but the Slavs ate codfish on Christmas Eve. It wasn't looted, you know, but they always had codfish on Christmas Eve.
So why do you think that you have continued that those special foods? What's important about that to you?
We grew up with it, and we learned to like it, and we still like it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we keep it up. Mm-hmm. I understand now, according to my cousins in Norway, they're getting away from lutefisk on Christmas. Mm-hmm. In fact, I called one cousin Christmas Eve this last year, and they were just sitting down to their Christmas Eve dinner, and they were having spare ribs and sauerkraut. That was their traditional Christmas Eve now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we wanted our children to know, you know. And besides, he liked it. Mm-hmm. So if that was Christmas for him, that was the way we were going to have it. And then on Christmas Day, we had it the way my folks had it.
Oh, so you had the best of
yes.
both.
Yes,
you have several children?
I had three daughters,
uh-huh.
12 grandchildren, and three great-grandchildren.
What are your daughters' names?
Beverly's the oldest, and Catherine is the middle one. Linda's the youngest.
And have they kept? You say you wanted to pass on your tradition to them. Have they kept
no,
up an interest?
The only one is the oldest daughter. She's the only one that'll eat lutefisk with us. The rest of them, they just didn't seem to care for it.
Have they picked up any of the Scandinavian baking?
Oh yes, the Fatima, they love that, and the krumkaka. See, I made it, and then now one of the daughters helps.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Norwegian language? Have you passed that down to your daughters?
No.
Have they expressed any interest in learning that now? Or?
No, they don't seem to have been interested in that at all.
Or your grandchildren?
No.
Mm-hmm. Now, do your daughters stay in this area?
Right. They're right within a few miles of us.
Mm-hmm. And have you been active in any kinds of Scandinavian groups or clubs in your community? Sons of Norway, something
like
that?
Well, yes, we belong to Sons of Norway.
Mm-hmm. Is there a chapter here, or do you go to Tacoma?
No, we have to go to Tacoma.
And how have you been active in that?
We go in every once in a while for their doings, for their dinner and their dancing afterwards. And we went in just before Christmas when they had their lutefisk dinner and so forth.
Do you remember any special, when you were growing up out here, were there special, for example, lutefisk dinners that you remember where the people
Oh, they do. Every year they have a lutefisk dinner at the Lutheran church.
Uh-huh. Did you take part in that?
Oh, yeah, we always did, and we still do.
Uh-huh. What would that be like? Was that something people looked forward to? Did your mother used to help with the preparations?
Oh, all the women and some of the men, too, get together and help with that.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Mrs. Elvis said that you're going to interview. She's been for years been making the flatbread for it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it real good. And her husband, he used to help out in the kitchen. They all seem to get together and help.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other Scandinavian organizations or that you've belonged to?
No, that's the only one. It's mm-hmm. Sons of Norway.
And you've been a carpenter and a fisherman. And do you have other hobbies or interest that you might want to talk about?
No, that's about all I ever done is fishing and carpenter work.
Uh-huh.
Of course, now I'm busy out in my garden and my berry fields and cutting wood for the fireplace and so forth.
You have a garden here?
Yes.
What types of things do you grow or raise?
Oh, mainly corn and squash is my mainstay. But then, of course, we also have peas, carrots, and beets and cucumbers and other things, too.
Do you think that's something you learned from your childhood that you carry?
Well, I grew up with that. The folks always had a big garden every year, and I had to be out there weeding it all the time.
What kind of chores did you have when you were a boy? What kind of chores did you have when you were a boy? Chores?
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was about 8 years old, I had to start milking cows morning and night. And then, of course, I had to work out in the berry fields. During the summer vacation, I was out in the berry fields plowing and harrowing and hoeing all the time. I had to plow for the garden and plow for the hay field. And then we hired a man to come and cut the hay. And then I would rake it with the horse, and my dad and I would haul it in.
Mm-hmm.
So it kept us pretty busy. And I also we had a pretty good sized stream that went right past our place, and I was down there fishing whenever I had a chance.
Mm-hmm. Now you say you've been back to Norway 3 years ago. Can mm-hmm. you tell a little bit about the circumstances, how you decided to go, and what that trip was like?
Well, I've been wanting to take a trip back for many years, and then when my cousins came over 4 years ago, they finally talked us into it.
And these were your first cousins?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the first time that they'd been over here, and I happened to mention that I would sure like to take a trip to Norway and see where my parents came from. Well, they said, why don't you come over next summer? And we finally did. Mm-hmm. We joined the Sons of Norway, and that way we could go a lot cheaper than the regular route.
How's that?
Well, the fare is a lot cheaper going through the Sons of Norway, but you have to be a member for at least 6 months. Mm-hmm. And our fare was only $900 round trip for both of us.
Was that a charter flight?
A charter flight, yeah. It was all members of Sons of Norway and Bundens, what do you call it? For Bundens Lodge, yeah.
When your cousins came over here, why did they come over here? Did you invite them, or had they been coming
well,
regularly?
Well, they'd been talking about it, and so we asked them, why don't you come over sometime? Mm-hmm. Well, my cousin, the one that you interviewed, Hans in Tacoma, he was over the year before that. And I guess he was the one that talked them into coming over.
Mm-hmm. And how many people came then?
Now, there was three of them that came. It was my cousin and his wife, and then my other cousin, who was a widow. Mm-hmm. The three of them came over.
Did they stay with you here in your home?
They stayed here for a while, and then they stayed up at National for a while. Not National, but Edenville for a while. Mm-hmm. And then this last summer, another cousin and her husband came over, and they stayed with us here for about 3 weeks.
When the Norwegian people came, how did they feel about America, or what was it like for you to actually be talking with your cousins from Norway?
Oh, I enjoyed it, and my cousin wrote, the one that was here last summer, she wrote, and she says, I understand that you have a travel trailer, and we would sure like to take a camping trip and get out into the wilds, mm-hmm. as she put it. So when they came, well, we took them in the trailer, we went up the Olympic Peninsula, and we spent about 4 days up there, and they really loved it. Mm-hmm. And then we also took them down to Westport, and they were able to catch some salmon, which they enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So they had a real good time. They still write and tell us about it.
It was very strange. We never met these people. And yet, when they'd been around for an hour or so, we felt like we knew them always.
Why do you think that is?
What? Yeah, family ties, I think, mm-hmm. you know, and it just seemed like we'd always known them. Mm-hmm. And it was the same way with my people, you know. I thought they'd be total strangers to me, but I wasn't with them for more than an hour until I felt like I'd always known them.
And this was when your relatives from Yugoslavia came here? Or
no, when we went
when you went
there.
Uh-huh. And so you flew to Norway, and where did the charter flight take you? Where did you land?
We landed at Gardermoen. And then six of my cousins met us.
Is that near Oslo? Or?
About 25 miles east of Oslo. And my cousins met us there, and then we went from there to Halden, where one of my cousins lives. Mm-hmm. And then we visited my other cousin in Sjeberg and one in Tistedal.
Where are those areas? Are those areas in pretty much in southern Norway there?
Yeah, they're down the southeastern part, right close to the Swedish border. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're just a little ways from the Svinesund Bridge that goes from Norway to Sweden. Which I walked over one day so I could say I'd been in Sweden.
what was your impression of Norway? What was your visit like?
I really enjoyed it. It was a little different than I thought it was going to be, but I really enjoyed it.
How was it different than you thought?
Well, I didn't realize that Norway was so rocky. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of rocks in Norway. Mm-hmm. And I can see now why their highways are so narrow, because it'd be pretty expensive to go through these solid rock mountains, you might say. Mm-hmm. And then when we got up to the northern part where my mother came from, coming down that long winding hill from the mountain down into Nordfjord, that was really a beautiful trip. Mm-hmm. With all the lakes and the fjords and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And there I had a chance to go out and see where my mother and my grandmother were born. In fact, I took pictures of that. Yeah, we had a real nice trip.
How long were you over there?
We left here the 4th of July, came back the 1st of August. Mm-hmm. So we got to see quite a bit of country.
What was your impression of the lifestyle of the Norwegian people now?
Well, it was a little different in some ways. The one thing that's I noticed, when we went to Nordfjord, there was two cars and seven of us, and we went camping We called ahead and reserved a cabin. When we got there, we called ahead and reserved a cabin for the next night. And here they had folding chairs, folding table, camp stove, everything in the cars. Come dinner time, they pulled alongside the road and cooked a meal. I'd never seen that done before. So it was different.
Did you have a special feeling when you were in Norway? Did you feel, even though you were born here, did you feel that this really was your homeland or land of your ancestors?
Well, I felt that way a little bit because I was amongst all my relatives, my dad's relatives, you might say, mm-hmm. and I felt almost at home.
Why is it, except for the invitation, of course, which encouraged you to come, why do you think so many people here of Norwegian descent decide to go back and visit Norway?
Oh, I think they've heard so much about the pretty country back there, and a lot of them have got relatives there that they would like to see that they've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And just to make the trip, which is a nice trip.
And so you combined this with a trip to Yugoslavia then? You went
yes,
there for
right.
a couple mm-hmm. of weeks or
1 week?
Or well, we bought a Eurorail pass here before we left, so we had free passage on the train for 15 days anywhere in Europe. And we left Halden in Norway, went down through Sweden, Denmark, Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and then Yugoslavia.
What was your impression of Europe just traveling through on the train?
Well, it was a little different. One thing that I noticed, there's a lot more trains and bigger tracks than I'd ever seen here before. Mm-hmm. There was one station we got into, had 28 tracks right side by side in the one station. The station was a two-story building, and they had every kind of a store, bank, hotel, anything you could think of in there. So it was a little different, and their food was a little different.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you think about the food in Norway?
I thought it was good.
What kinds of things impressed you as being good?
Well, I noticed that in Norway that we didn't see too much beef, but we had a lot of reindeer and moose meat, which was very good.
Mm-hmm. Would this be in your cousins' homes or
yes,
in
right.
restaurants?
No,
or?
We never ate in a restaurant.
You never did?
No, we stayed with our cousins. We never had to stay in a hotel. In fact, they were fighting amongst themselves where we were going to stay.
Had they hunted for this meat?
No, you could buy that. Mm-hmm. A lot cheaper than they could beef. Uh-huh. They didn't use too much beef.
And the rømmegrøt. That was just delicious.
What's rømmegrøt?
Rømmegrøt, that's sort of a mush made from sour milk. And it is good. You sprinkle sugar and cinnamon on it. And it's good.
Mm-hmm. Is that something they eat all the time, do you think, or is that a special
No,
treat?
They eat that quite a bit over there. In fact, I was used to that because my mother used to make it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Any of the other traditional foods that you had grown up associating with Norway that you saw over there?
Yeah, fårikål.
What's that?
That's lamb and cabbage. And it's very good.
How's that prepared? Is it?
Well, it's cooked together with whole peppers and a little onion and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The wife, she makes it once in a while.
Well, how important has your Norwegian heritage been to you down through the years? Huh?
Well, I'm kind of proud to say I'm a Norwegian.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I don't know. Maybe just because I grew up a Norwegian.
Do you think Norwegians are special people in any way? Or?
Well, I wouldn't say special, but I don't know. But,
well, why?
Why is that?
Well, they're very friendly people, mm-hmm. and I don't know, maybe it's just because I've been married to a Norwegian for so long.
Mm-hmm. Do you have contact with your cousins here. Have you kept contact with other people that you grew up with in this area? Now you say most of them have moved away, but...
I still keep up with a lot of them, mm-hmm. right?
When you live
and, of course, I see my cousins, my uncle and aunt in Tacoma quite often. They come out here and we go and visit them.
Do you speak Norwegian with them?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They're around 90 years old, your
Yeah,
aunt
they're both 90. Uh-huh. But my uncle now, for some reason, he's gotten away from Norwegian. He was, like I say, came over here in 1924. But when my first cousins came over 4 years ago, he couldn't hardly speak Norwegian to him at all. Mm-hmm. Kind of got away from it, mm-hmm. forgot it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But my aunt, up until here a year or so ago, when she got to be quite forgetful, I would speak Norwegian with her quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Is that something that gives you enjoyment, to be able to still speak another language?
Oh, I do. I enjoy it very much. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I went tow boating, there was a cook on the boat that was Norwegian. He's from Trondheim, and he'd only been over here about 5 or 6 years, I guess. And when he found out that I could speak and understand Norwegian, that's all he would ever talk to me. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helped me brush up on it.
Mm-hmm. Are there any, besides the Christmas traditions, any other Norwegian traditions you keep your family?
Not that I know of. We don't do anything special for 17th of May or anything like that.
Fly the Norwegian flag or anything like that?
No.
We used to have picnics in Crescent Valley on 17th of May, remember?
Oh, yeah.
All the whole valley get together and then go up and have a picnic.
Especially for the 17th of
May? Yeah,
that's
yeah, right.
That's when we first married.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Well, what were those celebrations like?
Oh, just a big picnic with all the neighbors.
Yeah, uh-huh. All the neighbors get together, all the Scandinavians would get together and they'd bring their lunches and whatnot. Eat together and spend the whole afternoon together.
Would they have entertainment at that? Would you ever play the accordion for that? Or
no, not for that, I don't think.
Have you kept up with your accordion playing?
Oh, a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you and your wife gone out and kept up with the North Scandinavian dances, the polka, shawnee?
No, we don't either one of us dance anymore.
I can't dance anymore.
Now, you say you lived in Tacoma. You were married and you lived over in Tacoma. And then how did you come back here to the so close to where you grew up?
Well, when we were first married, we lived here in Gig Harbor first. And then I went fishing on her dad's tuna boat in California. We were there for about 9-10 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when we came back up, I went to work as carpenter at the Western State Hospital, and then we rented a house there. And then later we bought a house in Tacoma,
mm-hmm.
and we lived there for about 5 years. Then we come back to Gig Harbor. We wanted to get back out to Gig Harbor.
Well, and why do you think you wanted to get back out to Gig Harbor?
Well, that was more home to us than anywhere else. We both grew up out here, and
mm-hmm.
we felt more at home here than we did in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm. You still feel that way?
Oh, yeah, right. Now we can, our neighbors aren't too close to us, and we can have a little garden and more privacy, and
mm-hmm.
quieter than it would be in town.
And can you talk a little bit about how Gig Harbor has changed, though? What have been your impressions?
Well,
what stands out in your mind?
Well, for example, Crescent Valley here, like I said, the old-timers are gone, and the young people, they haven't kept up with any Norwegian traditions or anything, and there's a lot of new people that moved in. In fact, there's a lot of the neighbors up through the valley that I don't even know them.
Mm-hmm.
I see them drive by, but I know where they come from, but I don't know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's changed quite a bit in that way.
How long is this? Is this a big valley that goes quite
mm-hmm.
a way? How many miles?
Oh, it's... You can say it starts on the other side of the Masonic Temple, and it probably goes for, clear up past Crescent Lake, it's still Crescent Valley Drive. That'd be about 5 miles total length of it, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
And it got its name from the lake.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
That was Crescent Lake, and they then called it, and Crescent Creek comes down through here, so they just called it Crescent Valley.
Mm-hmm. Has there been much building right around you here in this part of Gig Harbor?
Quite a bit, yeah,
mm-hmm.
right. A lot of new people are moving in. 90% of them are moving in from California.
Hmm. How do you feel about that?
Well, not too good, because I understand that a house that, for example, that they're selling here for $80,000, California people think they're getting a terrific buy because they would probably pay $125,000 in California for it.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, our contractors and our real estate people, when they hear you're from California, up goes the price about $30,000-$40,000. Which makes it rough for our local people to try to buy a home up here. So I don't like that too well.
mm-hmm. Do you expect to stay here for this several years or
I'll
into the future?
Probably stay here as long as I live.
Uh-huh.
as long as I'm able to, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to share a little saying or something in Norwegian, the language? I hear you speak a little bit of Norwegian. Do you have a little table grace or a song or anything that you can say in Norwegian?
Well, we got a table grace. It's hanging right there on the wall. Yesonam gorbita vor spisa dreka podit vor gutler osl gam supovi mati yesonam.
Do you use that here? Do you say that all the time? Or?
Oh, for the grandchildren, they love to hear and say, even though they don't understand each word, they know just about what it is, and they
uh-huh.
just love to hear grandpa say grace in Norwegian.
Uh-huh. Do you speak in Norwegian to them other than to say the grace?
Once in a while I'll say something for the fun of it. And
uh-huh.
When my cousins came over the first time from Norway, that was the first time that they'd heard me talk Norwegian. And they looked at me like I was some kind of a foreigner.
They said, Grandpa, you sound like a foreigners.
How old are some of those grandchildren then, the ones who are impressed by Norwegian?
Grandchildren that we have are all the way from 4 years to 24 years mm-hmm. old.
Do you think some of them are interested enough that they might really pick up the Norwegian language or want to study
one,
it?
One of them would, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my oldest daughter's youngest daughter. She has 3 girls and a boy. Mm-hmm. And I think she would like to go to Norwegian classes and learn to speak Norwegian.
What would you think about that?
Fine. Mm-hmm. Fine.
I'd like to go with
Now, do you speak Norwegian?
I understand a lot. Mm-hmm. And I speak a few words.
How did you get along in Norway?
Real
just
good.
Beautifully. They were just like my own people.
Mm-hmm. You were able to communicate okay.
Yes.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about your heritage or the history of Gig Harbor? Anything about that we haven't covered?
No, I can't think of anything else. Okay.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you're glad your parents immigrated to the United States so that you...
I am, right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it would have been like if I'd have been raised in Norway, but I'd probably have enjoyed that too.
Mm-hmm.
From what I saw in Norway, I kind of liked it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see the place where my dad grew up and where my granddad was. In fact, all of us cousins here have a picture of my granddad.